The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Jennifer Gannon and Ed Smith, a presenter of Lost in Music here on Today FM at 7 o'clock in the evenings, are with us for our weekly TV chat. And who can believe, Jennifer, that Noel Edmonds was the first person thrown out of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here after getting a £600,000 contract?
I'm in deep shock. I mean, I think it just proves that we know by now that English people cannot be trusted to vote for anything. Whether it's Brexit, X Factor or this. I mean, it's like they failed to understand the tenets of the rules of reality telly. Like, you have to keep people in that are the most interesting, the most, like, divisive people. And he was divisive.
Are you suggesting that the producers, having spent that much money, should have ignored the people's vote and lied and thrown somebody else out instead?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, allegedly, that that has happened. I mean, like, the thing about it is, they spent so much money on their cash cow and then they didn't secure him, because what they did was they ruined it by giving so many other the contestants immunity, so he was vulnerable. And I think that was the problem. And I genuinely don't think they thought he would go straight away, because there was like no marks from Hollyoaks there or whatever. Like, they should have definitely gone first. I mean, the thing about it is, he didn't even really get to start to talk about cosmic ordering or any of his craziness.
But maybe he was talking about stuff that we didn't see that they decided they didn't want to play.
Edmonds is a very wily operator. I think he was playing it safe, playing it calm. He wanted to win this big time. He even said, if I win this, I'm going to retire from television. What a promise to go unfulfilled. But we missed out in any future Alan Partridge moments, like when he revealed that he did a Michael O'Leary and his wife bought him a black cab so he could use the bus lanes in Bristol, because the traffic in Bristol is outrageous.
But he also carries around a mannequin with him.
Yeah, he bought a bus.
Yeah, put a mannequin in the back seat of the taxi so that nobody would actually flag him down.
It's a real taxi.
Now, in fairness, in Michael O'Leary's case, he had a driver and Michael O'Leary was the mannequin in the back seat.
By Matt's book.
That is like virgin on Phil Spector territory, and the fact that we got denied those potential telly highlights forever. But like, this is an actual thing with I'm a Celebrity. Like, you had Martin Roberts from Homes Under the Hammer, who was genuinely, you know, touched by some kind of crazy. They got rid of him super early. They got rid of Dollars' insane David Van Day. He was amazing. They got rid of him too early. They got rid of, oh my God, it was Jimmy Bullard was in one year and he was, you know, completely idiotic but absolutely hilarious. They also got rid of him, and you're left with the nice people, and the nice people always win out, but that's not actually interesting telly. They're all going to be sitting around there being way too nice to each other now. And
it's getting enormous numbers apparently.
And like, the thing is, if Nick Knowles is doing this fake nicery, I would rather have somebody in there that has a game plan, that's doing some kind of shtick, rather than him pretending to be a normal human, which is
when you
not
say the half
real.
Million, that's not the UK figures, that's the Irish figures, apparently, for Virgin Media One. Let's hear a little bit. Of course, since he got booted out or evicted, Noel Edmonds has been appearing in various programmes. Here's when he went on the Lorraine show, what he had to say about his eviction.
I tell you what, you weren't as astonished as I was. I was hoping to hang around for a little. I was hoping to hang around for a little bit longer. I hadn't even actually got into my stride. And I think, as Harry Redknapp would say, you know, the boy was hardly on the pitch. And he didn't even get a yellow. You know, he got straight red and he was off.
I was
surprised. I was surprised, and then I was disappointed. Then I felt a bit down, and then people have just been, they've been wonderful. Mm. People here, we're at Surfers Paradise, and Liz and I went to an animal sanctuary today, and there were Brits there, and then Australians sort of going, are you famous or something? People are taking your picture and whatnot. And people have just been so generous, Lorraine. I'm really very, very grateful.
I know, a cracking owl sanctuary.
He is sore, isn't he?
He's doing that elephant
man thing. He's quite hurt. I think he's quite hurt, I think he thought he was going to last the pace.
I think he should have, though.
Yeah, and I think he could have lasted a couple of more weeks. Got a good
Harry
bit more
Redknapp's
value.
Harry going to win it.
Oh, he definitely is. I mean, when you think about it, though, if Carol Thatcher won one year, come on, how can Noel not be there for the final? It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And the fact that Nick Knowles has taken up space there like some MDF board is really annoying me.
How much longer does it go on for us?
It's going to be the end of this week, I'd say, because there's only, like, they're getting rid of a person a night. So you had Rita from EastEnders is gone last night. So they'll be getting rid of somebody again tonight.
Listener says, Anne Hegarty does absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
Why does this show so much to certain people? If I see Fleur's tonsils again, I'm out of here.
I genuinely like Fleur though. So she's entertaining at least. And if anything, she's got Simon Cowell's backup, as we've seen on X Factor last week. So that's only a good thing.
One of our most successful exports to Britain on television, Dara O'Brien, Mock the Week, of course, has been a mainstay for many years. But he's back with Comedy Central on another reboot of Blockbusters. Now, Ed, explain to me the attraction of Blockbusters.
Well, Blockbusters, iconic quiz show, game show as such, that ran from 83 to 93 on ITV, presented by the great Bob Holness, who sadly passed away back in 2002. It's quite simple, it's quite straightforward compared to some of the game shows that are around at the moment, where you have to go from one side of the board to the other, and each block or hexagonal shape has a letter, and you answer questions, and the answer begins with that letter. It's quite straightforward. Great theme tune. It's going to work. I'm really looking forward to this, I have to say.
Let's hear a little bit of Bob Holness hosting back in 1994.
Let's play Blockbuster. Right, the very first question on the very first show in this new series. So she, Harry and Kelly, stand by for this. What S are regular amounts of money put away for a rainy... Yes, she.
Some. Saving.
No, can't take your... I have to take the first answer. Harry and Kelly, do you know what S are regular amounts of money put away for a rainy day?
Savings.
Savings is the right answer. Yes, Kelly, you're right. A round of applause, please. Don't forget, she be incisive and get it right.
Will.
Otherwise, you know what happens.
Harsh. That was harsh.
Very. Yeah. I mean, we all remember it because we remember that guy. There was this glazed-eyed student and he got orgasm mixed up with organism. That, I think, was the most biggest blockbuster moment for everyone.
Yeah, I think some girl said the Karma Sutra. She's only, you know, so for innocent times, you know, it's a great, simple, straightforward.
Yeah, we actually have one of those clips,
sorry,
I think.
Good. Oh.
What came is a Chinese ceremony of abasement. Yes, Pauline?
Kama Sutra?
No. Something quite...
Oh, innocent days indeed.
I like that it's not, they're not bringing it back as like some kind of celebrity edition, because I think that's what they do
there's
now.
There's going to be two
things.
Celebrity editions, apparently.
Oh, is there?
Sorry.
Oh.
But it's going to be two episodes of 10. So it's, I think it'll be good crack, and Dara Breen's a great choice.
He's a really good choice because he's really funny, he's really amiable, and also he's dead clever. So
and
I think
a little
it's a
fact
good mix.
For the people, the pubors out there, that Bob Holness was the second man ever to play James Bond.
And the whole Baker Street thing as well.
Yeah, there was a rumour going around that was started the enemy that he played the saxophone on Baker Street during
Rafferty's.
Yeah, it was Stuart McConey started that back in the enemy. It's not true, but he definitely
sadly
did play James
true.
Bond back in 1956.
On the radio, was it?
On the radio in South Africa, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, like, I think, you know, we could probably beef up a load of quiz shows. Like, as we're talking about Noel Edmonds, I really think they need to bring back Telly Addicts, which was my favourite quiz show ever. And it would stop people on Mastermind from giving out, because there's these Mastermind purists now. They're not allowed on Mastermind if you have Fawlty Towers as your specialist subject, or Father Ted, or Blackadder, because they've been done too many times.
Oh.
So it would stop those kind of snobby people from getting in the way and saying, like, you know, they have to have classic Mastermind topics. If you brought Telly Addicts back, everybody wins.
Open it up.
Bring Noel back.
Bring back Rapid Roulette.
Oh,
this listener says, Dan says, like the majority of Irish views, I only watch Celebrity for the Bush-Tucker trials. Can't bore to be get bored to death watching all the rest of it.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of people that are like that, but I think those in the camp bits are probably the bits that are most funny, I think.
Another says, I think Noel Edmonds was used as PR for the show. Let's be honest, everyone became interested once he was announced he was in. But then why not get rid of him? Why not keep him in? That's the thing. I still think there must have been something going on behind the scenes why they decided they wanted to get rid of him.
Conspiracy theories.
Okay, another listener says, I hope the Blockbuster contestants are going to be secondary school pupils rather than fully grown adults.
There were A-level students, I think a lot of them were on the original ones, so they probably will. But when we're talking about that, why don't RTÉ bring back Blackboard Jungle?
Oh my God, imagine it.
If Ray Darcy doesn't want to do it, I'd say someone like Owen McDermott would do it. Come on, RTÉ, it's a money spinner. Or I'd love to see Vincent Brown, you know, just really terrify the nation's undergrads on challenging times. Bring
God,
it back.
I'd love that.
Like Kevin Morris.
Yeah, well, like a good Kevin Morris.
Ed, great story by Ellen Coyne in the Times Ireland edition today about RTÉ getting into a dispute with the IRFU about pictures of people in the prawn sandwich brigade boxes at the Lanzarote Stadium.
Yeah, this resurrects Roy Keane's missile from some years ago when he had a go at the prawn sandwich brigade coming to Old Trafford. So I think the coverage during the Ireland-New Zealand game obviously got huge listener or viewership figures, and the RFU are unhappy because the camera kept panning to, I think it was Conor Murray.
It was. Conor Murray was out injured, so he was in a box with friends.
Yeah.
And the cameras were able to turn on him on a regular basis from remotely.
And
show his celebrations and scores.
Yeah, and some listeners or viewers or people at the ground are unhappy to the fact that he was...
Well, I think it was the IRFU was unhappy.
But I don't understand why. I mean...
Invasion of privacy? Or can you be private when you're actually at a game?
No. And
you had to add that bit of glamour, like the way the camera would always pan to like Pamela Anderson when she goes to see her French footballer boyfriend, or you know, the act with Victoria Beckham and Cheryl Cole when they're at the
Wimbledon.
World Cup match.
There was one year at Wimbledon a few years ago, it was ridiculous. They kept turning to the likes of Bradley Cooper in the game and say, can we actually see the game instead of watching the reactions?
It gets out of hand. Well, Conor Murray plays for Ireland, and you know, he's probably missing out, and he's reactions is going to be just as televisual as someone in the crowds. I don't see what the issue with the IRFU. Are they afraid that people are going to go, you know, pitchforks and get their yellow jackets on, that the kind of the well-to-do are enjoying the game from a corporate box? I mean, it's an absolute nonsense, isn't it, really? I don't get it. Where were you sitting?
I was about 6 seats down from
him. How are the sandwiches, Matt?
There were no prawns. I'm allergic to prawns anyway, but as it happens, okay. Yeah. I was actually in the box beside, and it was the Virgin Media box beside, and there was no ART. We're going to be getting pictures of Alan Quinlan and others that in the Virgin box. Anyway.
Eating their sausage rolls.
Exactly, and burgers. Anyway, turning to you, Jennifer, you want to talk about an old favourite of yours getting a UK version, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, so with the ever, it's an ever-expanding empire. She is launching, Ru is launching the UK version of Drag Race, and there was a UK version of Drag Race, but it was without RuPaul, and Jonathan Ross was the host, and that was smothered at birth, thankfully. So this is the real bona fide one, but at the moment, I feel, you know, the UK does have great drag queens. It's not actually open to Irish queens, which is a shame because it's just UK citizens. But I do adore the show, but I have to say, I feel this may be too much of a good thing. I mean, coming up this week, we have the Christmas Drag Race special. Straight after that, next week, we have All Stars 4. The minute All Stars 4 finishes, we have the 11th series of the American show and then the UK show. So I think it's a lot to take
in. It's like the Marvel Universe at this stage.
It is. It's like, it's kind of turning into, it was a parody of America's Next Top Model, and now it's actually turning into that. Well, there's so many cycles, and I know, you know, Ru wants to capitalise on that moment, the mainstream cultural moment it's having, but I think it may be a little bit too much too soon. And I think that it does need a bit of a hiatus. You know, Miss Vanjie, that whole iconic moment was only at the start of this year, and it feels like 90 years ago. And like, with the more, you know, content you're getting, it may be a case of, you know, diminishing returns.
My favourite name from season 10 has to be Kalori Kardashian.
Yeah, she went out. Oh, she was bad.
My God, just for the name alone, it's worth watching.
I mean, it used to be so, so flawless, and I'm just worried that, like, the more this goes on, the less enjoyable it's going to be. And, you know, I mean, in the words of Ru, she's done already, done had hersies, so she doesn't really need anything more. But, I mean, here we go, and let's see what happens.
They're threatening a royal mother to be runway challenge.
I mean, it's not enough for Drag Race to be cute. It has to be drop-dead gorgeous.
Dancing with the Stars, of course, will be back on RTE in the new year. We know some of those. Of course, Mairead Ronan, once, absolutely, of course, for many years here in Today FM. We have Mrs. Brown's Boy star Eilish O'Carroll, the comedian Fred Cook, the model Holly Carpenter, the stylist Darren Kennedy, who was on this programme as a guest recently. But no Gavin Duffy.
I want to see is Joe Duffy. But I mean, it's weird because he said like he didn't want to do it because he'd literally only just went into the presidency, you know.
And he finished last there, and he probably didn't want to be thrown off in the first week of I'm a Celebrity. I'm a Celebrity, Dancing with the Stars.
He said he had respect for the office of the presidency, so he wasn't going to appear in a reality show straight after, which is ironic.
What's that got to do with respect for the office of the presidency?
But it's ironic because he turned the presidency into a reality show.
What's like non-presidential? Not being president.
Very
so,
true.
You know, he's really cornered that market already. I don't think he's going to demean his non-presidentialness by going on a dancing show. It's no major loss. It was revealed today that, of course, Dennis Bastic, 5-time All-Ireland winner for Dublin, is also going to be on Dancing with the Stars. So,
and
hot off the press.
John Creedon.
John
Creedon is going to fill in the dad dancing role, I think, for this one. So that should have been Gavin Duffy, but now it's
which probably would have been Des Cahill's previously.
Exactly.
And Marty Morrissey could have covered that.
A lot of fairness, that's the GA dad dancing category. Maybe John would fit in there.
We need to do an offshoot of this and the GA Dancing with the Stars.
GA Dad Dancing All Stars.
And the GA Na Magni win it the first year.
I couldn't tell you now.
former Kerry footballer.
Yeah.
Maybe I think Gavin Duffy wants to move away from like the whole pop culture thing, because when you think about it, we could have had a president who went on Mastermind one time and was in Ireland and his specialist subject was Jesse J. So I don't really know.
Well, he would have done the reverse as Trump. Trump started on reality TV, became president. Duffy never became president and didn't go into reality TV. Well, so that's where we're
at. Let's have your picks of the week. What are you going for, Jen?
It is starting tonight on Amazon Prime. It's the second season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And it was a massive success at the Emmys this year. The first season, if anybody hasn't watched it, it's a perfect Christmas season binge. It's written by Amy Sherman Palladino, who was responsible for Gilmore Girls. And it's about a housewife in the late 1950s, early 60s, who leads a double life and she wants to get into stand-up comedy.
Let's hear a little clip from it.
Where have you been?
You scared the daylights out of me.
Answer me, Miriam.
I was out.
Out where?
With a friend.
What friend?
I'm sorry, did something happen?
Do you know what time it is?
It's late.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't you wear a watch?
Not with this outfit.
We were worried, Miriam. Worried sick, if you must know.
Your mother vomited.
I did not vomit.
Well, she did something in the bathroom that took a very long time, and she did not come out looking happy.
I'm sorry I was late, but...
But what?
You do know I'm not 16 anymore, don't you?
We thought we did, but then you act like this, sneaking out.
I did not sneak out.
Sneaking in.
I did not sneak in.
You left your baby here alone.
With her grandparents.
And where is your son, anyway?
Shooting craps.
What?
He's with Joel. Shooting craps. I'm kidding. Can we just lighten the mood a little?
No, we cannot. You know the rules of this house. Rule number one, you do not leave your towels on the floor. We'll get back to that, by the way. Rule number two, home by 11.
Are you kidding me?
10 if you keep arguing.
You can't give me a curfew. I'm a 26-year-old woman. I have 2 children.
As long as you're living under this roof, my rules apply.
Mama, this is a tad overdramatic, don't you think?
You could have been dead and dismembered in an alley.
I'm going to bed.
That's it! I've changed my mind. No Jack Parr for you.
What?
Because of your behavior tonight, I'm not buying you a TV. See, there are consequences. Lesson learned. Good. Now go to your room.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Now, Rachel Brosnahan, who's in it, who stars in it, she is absolutely luminous.
Oh, she was in early House of Cards, wasn't she? Yes.
And she's just so charismatic. And really, it takes, like, visually, it takes its cues from all those MGM musicals. It's gorgeous Technicolor chocolate box kind of TV.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to play a clip from your choice, Ed, but tell us about it. Harold and Lillian.
Harold and Lillian, a Hollywood love story. Absolute gem of a documentary that's popped up on Netflix. It tells the story of Harold and Lillian Mickelson. Harold is a legendary storyboard artist and Lillian does all the research for behind films like Ben-Hur. So this is not only a story of Hollywood, but a true story about a couple that are so in love. It is absolutely inspiring and beautiful. If you're looking for something to fill your heart and also learn a bit about the movies, these are two unsung, unknown giants of cinema and everybody's in it, from Francis Ford Coppola to Alfred Hitchcock all the way up to Danny DeVito and in DreamWorks Shrek. It's all here. Beautiful couple and a story beautifully told.
Okay, we didn't get a chance to talk about The Innocent Man. We might do that next week. Thank you very much, Ed Smith and Jennifer Gannon, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.